Matt and Cole Reeves first came to our studio in 2013. Since our last visit with them, the two country musicians have moved to Nevada and formed a band together, appropriately titled The Reeves Brothers. In October, they released a new album, King of Country Music. During a visit to Northwest Arkansas this past fall, Matt and Cole came to the Furman Gardner Performance Studio, along with Kelly Bishop, to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. Cole began the conversation by discussing their move out west.
We came out January 8th of 2015 and went back just because we wanted to be around Vegas and the more of a music scene out there for a little while and play some old country music and stuff. And there were some good honky-tonks out there. And we lined up a weekend gig and we drove out one night and ain't never moved back since.
Now, where in Nevada are you? Are you close to Vegas?
We're 45 minutes from Vegas to an hour. Little town called Pahrump, Nevada, right over the hill west of Vegas.
And you're not completely new to Nevada. You guys spent some time there as kids, right?
Yeah, we grew up out there as kids off and on. My dad was an entertainer, Jack Reeves, and we came out there with him and my mom when we were little kids. And we lived there from the time I guess I would have been 4 years old until the time I was about 12. And Matt was about 8 until the time he was 16 or 17.
Are there a lot of honky-tonks out in Nevada? I guess when I think of Nevada, I think of Las Vegas, and I think of, you know, Britney Spears taking residence in one of the hotels or something. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah. No, there's actually a lot more than you'd think, and it's played in our favor because that's all that people see is the Strip. When they think of Las Vegas, mm-hmm. You know, they don't think of anywhere else. And so you can go a block off the Strip and find a little honky-tonk, and Saddle and Spurs is way over in North Las Vegas. There's a Sand Dollar, an old club. Frank Sinatra used to take his mistresses there back in the 70s. And so it's just a little dive honky-tonk and stuff like that. But there's a pretty good scene out there as far as honky-tonks go.
And do you have a specific bar where you have maybe your own kind of residence where you play every Sunday or something?
Yeah, we play the Hub. Out in Pahrump, and we're there sometimes 3 or 4 times a week just to play. You know, the owner's a good friend of ours, and so if we're not doing anything, we just call him up about an hour before the show and say, hey, we're going to come play tonight, and he's always gracious. So we do that often when we're not doing anything.
Well, how has the band itself changed? And last time you guys were here, you still had a separate band for Cole and a separate band for Matt, and you played together sometimes, and now you guys are playing together all the time.
Yeah.
But it's not just the two of you.
No. Kelly's sitting over there being quiet. We had Nate Wong that was living out here, mm-hmm. and he decided to move to Hong Kong and become a star over there. So he's now like the house drummer for The Voice over there in Hong Kong.
Oh.
And so right now we've got 2 or 3 different drummers out in Vegas that we kind of rotate around with that all know our stuff. And but the three of us, we tour together all the time. It's always us three. So other than that, we got a steel player out there, Steve Gall, and he works on the records with us, and on the big shows he'll play with us and things like that. But not too awful lot has changed.
No,
you know?
Just the location and the size of the band.
Exactly, yeah.
And the size in more than one ways.
Yeah.
We put on a couple pounds since the last time we
played.
But we still have just as much fun.
Perfect.
That's right.
Well, you recently released a new album, King of Country Music, which you brought here for me today. Thank you very much. Got 10 songs on this, and I believe it's a mix of some covers and some originals. How did you pick your covers? I know you guys kind of have a long history with country music.
Yeah, we picked our covers because we go through a lot of old music that friends of our families and stuff that my dad's met through over the years, and we wrote a couple of the songs on it, and then some of the covers are from the Southern California and the California people, and one of the title track, King of Country Music, is from a guy, Gene Price, that played for Merle Haggard. He played bass on the Live from Muskogee, Oklahoma album that was real big for Merle. And he wrote that song. And then there's a couple Donnie Rohr's songs. And he was a guy that had a couple Billboard songs back in the 70s, but never hit it real big. And then we got one called Who Invented Honky Tonkin' that my dad's guitar player, Chuck Willis, his brother wrote it, Ray Willis, and he wrote songs for Ronnie Millsap and Kenny Rogers and was a big-time songwriter in the 70s.
Could we hear one of the songs from your new album?
Absolutely. We'd love to do it.
What are you going to play for me?
Actually, what I'll do, and I'm sorry right now, guys, I'm hoarse, but I'm going to do the best I can. I've been suffering from a cold and traveling and stuff, but I'm going to do a song that our bass player, Kelly Bishop, and I wrote in the garage of our manager, Joe Swopes. We were all sitting around one night and came up with this song over maybe a little bit too much Jim Beam and Jack Daniels and got to thinking about it. We said, we shouldn't be drinking
no
more.
You can't leave out Crown Royal.
Yeah, Crown Royal. That's where the little crown for the King of Country Music came in. Yeah. He got that crown there. We're going to do this song. It's called I Gotta Sober Up to Face the Night. I've drank more than my fair share of whiskey. I've been in quite a few of those honky-tonk bars. The hangovers and heartaches fade away, but the memories of you have stayed so long. Now I've got to sober up to face the night. I can't fall asleep with you still on my mind. I'm drunk on all the memories of you here laying by my side. And I've got to sober up to face the night. I know I've drank whiskey every day. Never thought you'd be the one that had to pay. The wreck out on the highway late that night, it sobered me right up but took your life. Now I've got to sober up to face the night. I can't fall asleep with you still on my mind. I'm drunk on all the memories of you here laying by my side. And I've got to sober up to face the night. About time I sobered up and faced the night.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
And we should mention to folks, one of the reasons you're hoarse is because you're in town for a show. We're recording this the morning after a show, actually.
Yep.
You guys played at the Meteor Guitar Gallery last night. Deal. So you do try to make trips home. How often do you, I say home, because you're still from here, still from there. How often do you try to make it back to Arkansas to play?
We get out here, what, about every 3 months? 2 to 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend lives in Eureka Springs.
Okay, that's a good reason to come here.
Yeah, and so... And then our manager lives here. And so, and we got a lot of friends out here, so it's no big deal. And we like coming out here. And it always works out, I think, that we're ready to leave Vegas when we come out here. And then when we stay out here, we're ready to get back there. And then, back and forth.
So having the two homes works.
It's really nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you can make that work.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Well, you're making country music work, and there was a post on your Facebook page that I enjoyed reading that someone was saying that you're saving country music. Do you feel that you are saving country music?
We're preserving it.
You're preserving it.
Yeah.
So I think as people can probably tell from that song right there, you have an I don't know, an older sound, I suppose. You sound very much like the honky-tonks in the 70s and that style of country, because I believe now people will argue there are different types, different styles of country. Something that you'll hear on the radio now isn't necessarily...
Yeah.
So I feel like I hear a lot of debate on this as to where country music is going, if that's where it should be going, or if there should be different styles. Kind of what's your take on country music in that regard?
I think that really everybody has their place, if that's what it is. I mean, there's young kids that aren't going to like what we're doing, and there's young kids that aren't going to like what, you know, Luke Bryan's doing. Mm-hmm. But Luke Bryan's selling a million records, so you can't, you know, and so is Chris Stapleton on the other spectrum of mm-hmm. that. So you can't take that away from them, because they're still – there was a thing Elvis said years ago that this – opera singer came up to him and told him how terrible he was and when he was a kid, and he said, well, how many records did you sell last year? And the guy just walked off mad, you know.
Sure.
And so that's kind of where that goes, you know, whether it's what we listen to or not, they're still selling records, you know. And that's, I guess, everybody has their place, and like Cole said, we're just trying to preserve an era and write songs like that. You know, instead of none of our songs are really slamming new country like mm-hmm. a lot of these people.
I save that for my free time.
Yeah, a lot of these people write songs doing that, and we just want to write a good country song. So that's kind of where we're at on it.
Well, what is it about that time, that place in time, that you feel it's an important era to preserve?
If you're asking what, like, a favorite era of mine for country music that we focus on is the 70s, early 70s, you know, as a matter of fact, I probably like late 70s and early 80s Merle Haggard more, but we seem to play more early 70s style of country music, I think, and that's just the era that we grew up on, and all our old records and stuff that we listened to as kids were all early 70s Merle Haggard and Waylon and Willie and stuff. So we usually stick with that.
Mm-hmm. There's a kid, or I don't know if he's a kid, he's not a kid, Zephaniah O'Hara, and he kind of does the 60s. He has that, the mid-60s to late-60s wrapped up for his sound. I feel like Whitey Morgan kind of has the outlaw Waylon thing, and what we're doing is kind of right between them, and nobody's focusing on that. And so that's where we're at. It just happens to be that point in time of the early 70s, nobody's really focusing on that, and we love it. So that's how we ended up there, and that's why we do it, because that's just what comes out when we do our thing. So,
well, thanks again for coming in. Could we hear one more song before we let you go?
Sure. Let's do that Ray Willis song, Who Invented Honky Tonkin'. Someone's always leaving, getting in the wind. Someone's always telling me goodbye. If I get over this one, I'll never love again. I found another way to lose my mind. Turn it up and let the music fill a smoky barroom. Give my body something for my mind. Bring a ringing country singing teardrop to my eyes. Who invented honky tonkin'? Ought to have a prize. Whiskey doesn't taste as good as mom's apple pie, but it has a way of satisfying me. Like a dollar's worth of heaven and a woman's tender lies, I swear there's not a place I'd rather be. Turn it up, let the music fill a smoky barroom. Give my body something for my mind. Bring a ringing country singing my eyes. Who invented honky-tonking ought to have a prize. Who invented honky-tonking ought to have a prize.
Matt and Cole Reeves and Kelly Bishop inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda in the fall. The Reeves Brothers' new album, King of Country Music, is now out. The band is planning to return to Northwest Arkansas for a show sometime next month. You can keep up with that plan as it develops, as well as find out more about the new album at thereevesbrothers.com.